Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. It is a getaway Friday here. Friday, April the 23rd, 2021. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Now, you know, the conversation we were having last hour, I think, is a very good conversation to have. Now, the conversation revolved around the idea about the factories in Marion, which we do have a lot of. We have Yachio. We have Whirlpool, which everybody talks about. We have Nucor, which was brought up last hour. Anderson Windows. And if I'm forgetting any, let me know. 740-383-9944. Certainly Wyandotte, I think, would be considered in that category. But the question is, why do people... Why do these places always need jobs? Now, or need to fill jobs? Now, is it because of drug tests? Is it because of felony convictions? Is it because people just don't want to work? What is the problem? Why do these factories have problems employing people? Because the idea used to be for a great number of people that basically... that if you got a factory job, that you were set for life. People love their factory jobs. They would work there 30, 40 years and get a good retirement. But that doesn't seem to be the way things are going anymore. And I would think that you would probably have a pretty good Social Security, and I know a lot of these places offer 401ks, so I'm not really sure why this is not happening anymore and why there are so many jobs to fill. Did the manufacturing industry pick up in Marion in the last 20 or 30 years? Does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-383-9944 certainly gets us away from the whole, I guess I would say, downtown issue that we've been talking about for so many days here on the program. But I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? Give me a call. 740-383-9944. Why can we not get the manufacturing jobs filled? Kind of a fascinating story, to be honest. And I think, overall, I just remember so well that people would be talking about the type of jobs they would want. And it seemed that that those are the jobs they wanted. I don't know. Just thinking about it is interesting to me. That all these factory jobs are open. And I just went on the internet and looked. You know, you just do a job search in Marion, and you can see all these factories that are interested in hiring people. And I think that's a good thing for our city, that we want these jobs filled, but we can't seem to fill them. And it's been that way ever since a lot of these factories have come to town. I don't know when that started. You know, another place where I'm seemingly seeing that jobs are being hard, we're hard-pressed to fill jobs, is schools. It seems like a lot of schools cannot get the help that they need. Now, again, I'm not really sure why that is. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss it. Certainly would love to have that discussion. Because I know there are a lot of people out there who apply for jobs and don't get them. But I, you know, in what are they called? Temporary agencies. There are these temporary agencies now that people can go through to get these jobs. Now, I don't know why a lot of factories have went to that system. Because I remember years ago, the theory used to be that you did not want to go through a temp service because they would take some of your pay or something like that. I don't really know. I never really, in my mind, ever dealt with a temp service, so I don't know exactly how that works. But that was a big deal for a long time. In any event, give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we can discuss it right here on the program, which is always a lot of fun. The listener calls are really, to me, what drive this particular program. Because you know more about what's going on out there than I do. And I had so much fun yesterday when we had the caller call in and ask about lawnmower repair. And within 10 minutes, we had a phone number for somebody who did lawnmower repair. Did that go okay? Can anybody give us a report on that? Were you able to call the lawnmower repair person and basically let us know if that went okay? Is the lawnmower repairable at this particular point? 740-383-9944. You know what I've always thought that I wanted? I wanted one of those lawnmowers that you could just push. You know, the ones that don't have a motor on them? I want one of those lawnmowers. Now, I don't know why. Because all my life I've used the ones that did have motors on them, where you could pull the string and so on and so forth and mow your yard or sit on a riding lawnmower. But do they still sell those? Can you still get those lawnmowers without mowers where you just go out in the yard and you run it through the grass and it cuts the grass and there's no motor on it? That appeals to me. You don't have to go get gasoline. It's not loud. You know, one of the things about some of these lawnmowers is they're so loud in your ears when you're mowing. A lot of people love to mow, though. A lot of people think it's a very stress-free environment. And they can sit and think, and nobody can bother them when they're out mowing. People love to mow. But I always wanted, does anybody know anything? Does anybody even know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the non-motorized lawnmowers? Can you buy those? Do they work well? That's another question. Go ahead, caller.
Hello once again, interviewer to the stars.
Yes.
I can't promise you a star call, but at least someone who has some interest and is delightfully quirky. I swear by the rechargeable electric mowers. In fact, that's what the kind of mower the landlord has used and will use to make sure that nice plot that the station sits on is lovely. And getting lovelier by the day. I'm a Black and Decker at the house. My house is almost a quarter of an acre, but it's a ranch with a rather humongous driveway and garage. So, I mean, it's a lot of it isn't the land. But I actually have six batteries total. As these Black and Decker batteries, they don't, you know, like your cell phone, the battery, they don't last as long as they claim. But just buy an extra battery. In fact, I call Black and Decker after I got it, because I like the mower, but the battery lasted like 10 minutes apiece. But that's what I was seeing online. They were nice to send me two batteries that were a little more powerful, but I went and ordered two more ones, which are both 3 amps. And if the lawn's really, really, really high or some other issues come up, I may need all six batteries. But I mowed yesterday, and all I needed was like two and a half batteries. You just charge them, and they're all ready. And no pollution. I mean, the electricity, the charge isn't very much. I think it's cheaper than gas. You don't need the oil. You know, gas and oil can be messy. The mower is light, but if you take the battery out, that'll help the weight a little bit. And really, this technology has gotten so much better. When I first bought the house, I got a corded a corded lawnmower, which doesn't need battery, but it's a pain to mow and try to make sure you don't mow the cord, because that would be kind of disastrous. So I would say, Scott, bottom line is if your lot is a quarter of an acre or less with a house, the Black & Decker or the Greenworks, two of the good brands of cordless mowers are highly recommended. Max Tool is a good place to get them, and Menards. Menards has them. You can look on Amazon. So I definitely swear by those. And, you know, they are quieter because they don't have the gas engine. And just take care of the batteries, and they will last. But you know, you can always buy new batteries. Plus, with these devices, Scott, like I also have a Greenworks hedge trimmer, which I love. And it's a rechargeable battery. You just charge it, and you don't use it as long as a mower. So, I mean, you can pretty much use it a whole season without charging it. Plus, you get interchange the batteries. If it's the same voltage, you can go ahead and swap the batteries with different devices. So I definitely swear by these products, and I think they're getting more popular. And they even have battery powered mowers that are self propelled.
Now, what about the? Have you seen the mowers that I'm talking about on sale? The ones that have no electricity, that have no gas or anything with them.
Well, that'd be like a real mower where you kind of push it the old fashioned way. I don't know what else you could power.
Well, it's like got blades on it. It just has blades at the bottom, and you push it, and I guess the blades.
Yeah, it would be a regular real mower. Of course, they aren't that powerful. And, I mean, unless you got a postage stamp lot, so to speak, and the grass isn't very high, it's not really a good choice. You do kind of need some power. But, yeah, with some lot, you know, with some city lots, if there's not a lot to mow, yeah, sure. And you can't beat the how green they are. No, you get good exercise.
But I don't know. Can you still buy those?
A bag, and you can even bag the clippings if you want. So that's another option. I think lawnmower technology has gotten better, and I'm a fan of these rechargeables. Plus, you can swap out the batteries.
Now, can you still buy those though? The ones that have no batteries and have
Menards has them. I mean, I have one in my garage, and it can use it if the grass isn't too high. But I understand it'll take a while, and there are limitations as to how high it can cut. Plus, like I mowed yesterday, and there was still some pieces of snow on the ground. So you know that's snowing that we're talking about. But it wasn't the 3 inches that I had when I woke up in the morning when we had that late spring mini snowstorm going on. But it was a little moist. Then from the and plus too, if you mow in the morning, it was cold. There'll be some dew. But I got it done. I can only use 2.5 batteries, and I've had to use 4 or 5 batteries in the past. And it does do a good job, and it is quieter. So, really, I mow the backyard, and the neighbors will barely hear it. But, you know, I can hear a regular gas mower half a block away.
Well, it's just interesting because I have never been into a lawn and garden store and seen the mowers with just the blades where you could just push it.
Yeah, I mean, Menards isn't that like a 2 blocks from where you hang your hat there.
Yeah, I guess maybe I've never.
Yeah, they have. I have a real mower from there that I use occasionally. Also, another device too, because I don't mind mowing. I'm just interesting. I don't mind mowing. I don't mind shoveling snow. If you're a homeowner, Scott, shoveling snow is like a badge where who gets the snow shoveled first among your neighbors, who has the nicest driveway, and who gets the sidewalk shoveled. So it's kind of a contest. With me, I'll go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and do it if I'm bored. I'll just go back to bed, and then the sun comes up and it's like, boy, Adam went ahead and got all that snow cleared. I don't like leaves. Raking leaves, well, that's the worst one. So I wonder, you know, whether maybe that would be a good Family Feud question. Do other homeowners kind of rank things like I do, where I don't mind shoveling snow and mowing the lawn, but I'm not big on the leaves. But one thing I do with the leaves is just mow them. That way you mow the grass and you get the leaves, and it's better for the environment because it does mulch them. And you can actually use that around the garden if you want. And that way you don't have to rake. And it kind of gets more of them. And what it doesn't get, it kind of chops them up so it goes into the thatch. So it's another idea. As long as there's not too many, otherwise it'll be kind of hard. Because with my house, I have the silver maple. And 2 weeks, usually not November, there's 1 or 2 weeks where you literally could rake twice a day. It just goes crazy. Other than that, there isn't too much to rake.
Well, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to me because I've never had one of those mowers, and I do not have a big yard at all. And I've always wondered what it would be like to use one of those to see if they are effective.
Yeah, postage stamp lot, and it isn't too high, and it's dry because again, the wet grass is harder to mow. I would suggest it. You know, no cost for gas or electricity. It's good exercise. Doesn't make a lot of noise, and they have better ones now that have bags. The technology there has improved. So we have different levels of mowers. Even the fact that we have these self-propelled electric is pretty good because even 10 years ago, the electric mowers were weak. But now, yeah, I have a quarter of an acre, although a lot of it's taken up by the house and the garage and then the garden. But it still works. And do buy extra batteries because they never last as long as promised. And keep the battery conditioned or they'll lose charge. But those are all suggested strategies. And I encourage people, if you need a mower, try one of those rechargeable electrics. Greenworks and Black & Decker are probably the two best brands. And you might be pleasantly surprised. That's one thing where we really have seen an improvement. And again, it is quieter, and you will quickly not miss the mess associated with putting the oil in the gas and other things associated with an internal combustion engine. And yeah, you can sharpen the blades. I mean, the inner workings of the mower are pretty much the same. It's just the way that it's powered.
Huh. Well, it's an interesting thing, and we'll see how.
Yeah, they ask people. Ask, you know, are they as high on these rechargeable electrics like I am, or are they the old school with a gas engine, or is a lot small enough that they use the real mower? It's everybody's going to have their, you know, you own a home, Scott, as you'll notice, you probably have, you have your opinion on how to do maintenance, and sometimes you think of your own little ideas, your own little tricks.
Yep, we just do what we do. Well, thanks for calling in.
See you later, Scott.
Bye-bye. Well, apparently I'm being told now that they're called real mowers, R-E-E-L. Mowers. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're talking about a real type mower.
Yeah, I used to see them a lot, but I have not seen them in quite a while.
My grandmother used to have one of those. She had a fairly small yard, but if you don't keep it mowed, let it get high, you know, you're going to wear yourself out. Even her small yard is wear yourself out. But if you're the type of person that wants to get out there and, you know, mow, you know, every half inch off of it, you know, and they are better for your, the way they cut, golf courses use them. That's how they cut the greens. They use real type mowers. You know, they cut your, they're a lot better on your grass. Those mowers with the blade that goes round and round, those blades aren't really that sharp. You know, they tear your grass a lot instead of cut it. But when you have a real mower, if you got a yard that has a lot of sticks and stuff like that, you know, that gets in there, just stops you. You know, you won't have the power to break through, you know, very many sticks or anything like that. You definitely wouldn't want it on a yard where you had a lot of debris from the trees or walnuts falling down or...
Well, I just have always, I don't know why that's appealing to me. I don't know, maybe it's if I mowed a lot of yards, because I mowed a lot of yards when I was a kid, and I remember having to go get the gas and dump it in, and sometimes the mowers would not start, and you had to pull them and pull them and pull them. And then I remember in those days I had an electric lawnmower at one point, and it used to be plugged into an extension cord. I don't think it's done that way anymore. But I remember at one point running over the extension cord, which that is not something you want to do when the extension cord is live and still plugged in. And, you know, just things like that. And I always thought, well, one of these real lawnmowers would be very easy to operate.
Yeah, if you have a small yard, you know, you get out there and keep it, you know, cut, you know, don't let it get real high on you. Yeah. Plus you're 40 years old, you're, you know, still relatively young yet.
That's right. I can still get out there and do it.
Or you got Angie, you know.
Put her out there mowing the yard. Well, I don't know. I haven't done that. You know, she does like to mow, though, I do believe.
Really?
Yeah, I think she enjoys mowing.
Well, she seemed like a good little worker doing things for you. I mean,
Oh, yeah, she's very, very good at most anything she's done that I've ever seen. She's a very, when she puts her mind to it, she can do just about anything is what I've seen.
Yeah, just a sweet person. Sweet person.
Very, very, very nice person. But yeah, I think she likes to mow. I think there might be some allergy issues there. But outside of that, I think she really enjoys mowing. But I don't think I would ever ask her to mow my yard. I think that's... I can mow it. I just don't... you know, it's very small. I don't know. I've just never enjoyed mowing. I've done it. But... I don't know. It's just never one of those things that really was mind-clearing or a terrific experience for me.
I used to enjoy it in a way, but I've never been able to do a lot of walking, which, you know, if the yard's very big, you know, can really bother me.
Yeah,
I can't mow myself anymore.
You know, and I do remember raking leaves, and you'd rake them into a big pile, and somebody would jump into them, and that was always a fun thing, but to be honest, I don't see a whole lot of people doing that anymore, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, most people have those mulching mowers, and just mulch them up.
Yeah, it's no more, you know, that used to be a thing that kids loved to do in the fall.
I used to remember in the fall, you'd always... smell the leaves, burn them. Back in the day when you could burn them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think people still might do that. But, you know, there are a lot of ordinances in cities and places like that where you cannot do that sort of thing anymore.
Well, if you have the right neighbors around that don't complain, you get by with some of that stuff. But it seems like there's always some neighbor wherever you live that...
You know what I keep wondering, and I'm not complaining about it, but where have all the mosquitoes gone? You know, is it because they are spraying in a different way than they used to? Because I remember in this area when I was a kid, even in the city, you would deal with a lot of mosquitoes. But to be honest with you, I could not tell you the last time that I had any issue with mosquitoes anywhere.
Well, I don't spend a lot of time out. I don't get around too good anymore, so I don't spend a lot of time outdoors, but, you know, for the mosquito problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be we got a lot of bats eating mosquitoes, maybe.
Well, I do think about that sometimes, because to be honest with you, the mosquitoes, to me, were... always a huge problem. You used to have to put all that spray on.
Oh, yeah.
And olive oil people used to use to keep the mosquitoes away when you went outside. But to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you the last time that I was ever eaten by mosquitoes or had mosquito bites. And sometimes I'll be outside on a hot summer day and think, you know, this is not bad.
I think they did a lot of spraying last year on account of those mosquitoes. They found so many with that one certain disease that you can get from the mosquitoes. So I think they went pretty much overboard maybe on the spraying last year.
Well, it's been, I don't know how many years. It's
then
been
you
at
worry
least...
about breathing that stuff they spray, how good that is for you too.
To me, it's been about 6 or 7 years since... I've ever, you know, maybe even longer than that since I've seen a problem with mosquitoes. Maybe I'm just not in the right areas. Maybe it's around water where it's all going on.
Oh, you get out there in the wetland areas, and I got a friend that lives out, and she got some protected wetlands around her place, and during the summer you go out there, it's buggy, not just mosquitoes, all kinds of flies and bugs and stuff, and, you know, you get out there and in Big Island stuff, I imagine it gets pretty bad over there.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Well, we'll see what happens as it goes down the road.
Well, get one of those mowers and let us know how you like it.
Yeah, I think I would like it. I as long as it cuts the grass, I think I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, again, the phone lines are open here talking lawn mowers. And also mosquitoes. Does anybody know anything about the mosquitoes? Why they have been so less over the past few years? I don't know that. I really am not sure. where all the mosquitoes have went. And to be honest with you, I'm not heavily involved in the agriculture community, so I don't know the answers to a lot of these questions, like where the mosquitoes have went and what purpose mosquitoes serve. Although I have learned that mosquitoes, most everything, it seems like, in nature serves some kind of purpose. So I'm sure that mosquitoes serve some kind of purpose as well. Go ahead, caller.
You're talking about a real-time mower. They take as much maintenance as your other mowers do. You got to make sure you keep the bearings oiled and the blade sharp. Because if you don't, it's harder to push.
So do the blades get dull pretty quick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just like you have, like, sharpening the rotary blade on a mower. And if you don't keep it oiled up, then it's harder to push and it doesn't mow right. It works you harder.
Yeah.
And then when you put it away for the winter, you got to make sure that you got it oiled up good. So it's like any other piece of equipment, you have to do maintenance on it.
Well,
they still sell them. It's just it's so much more convenient to have a powered mower.
Well, you know, and that seems to be the case, because most people I know do have the powered mowers.
Yep, it's, you was wondering about the, why they're hiring all the time at these places?
Yeah, at these factories.
Well, you got to think of retirements, people get sick, people get injured, and people go to different, you know, they just get started a factory and they want to go into another pipe type business. Maybe they start their own business or something, and they, those jobs have to be filled. And you got a new business out in the Kellogg Park way now. Marion Industries is now called Pistons. It's got a different owner.
Oh, really?
Yep. You haven't seen the banners around town?
You know, maybe I'm just not observant enough.
There's one on Mount Vernon Avenue, there's one on 309, and another one on Delaware Avenue.
Well, hopefully one day they'll be able to fill these positions, and we'll all be happier for it.
Yeah, but there's many different things that come into play that, you know, people just get tired of working in the factory and want to do something else. And maybe they get hurt and can't work anymore, their job's got to be filled, or they get sick. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the Whirlpool, they'll have their ups and downs, where they sell worldwide, so maybe they got a big order for India, and they have to bring in more people to supply that order. So that's the way it works.
Well, we'll hope it all turns out well for everybody. We'll all be very happy on this Friday.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right. Well, yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, we all want the jobs to be filled, and we all want everybody to be happy, and we all want to go down the road in a positive manner. So, you know, that's the way it goes, I guess. And I think we're going to have a guest joining us here in about a minute. So we'll see how this all turns out momentarily. You know, anytime you get a live call on the air, you never know how that's going to go. So it's supposed to be at a quarter till here. So in about 20 seconds, we'll see if it happens, and we will go from there. But it's going to be a fun guest. I think everybody is going to enjoy the person who's going to join us for the last 15 minutes of the program today. But we'll see if it happens here. Again, you're listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, streaming live. Oh, here it is. You know, this might be it. So I tell you what, we are going to take a quick time out and come back with this guest right after this.
Spears, Monday through Thursday on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, 12:10 to 2 p.m. Guest you won't want to miss, like Clarence B. Jones, advisor, confidant, attorney, and co-author of the I Have a Dream speech to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And I cannot thank you enough for coming on to have this frank discussion, because a lot of people wouldn't have.
And you came on short notice. Clarence Jones, a friend of this program, I hope you come back again.
Well, I came on short notice because, God, I admire your journalistic integrity. You asked probing questions. You respect my answers, even though you may not agree with all of them. At least you accord me the professional respect which goes along with your craft. And so your listeners are very fortunate to have a broadcaster of your abilities and your broadcast journalism integrity. So I'm always pleased to be in your program.
Tough but fair is what you always hope they say about a journalist. Tough but fair.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday in the month of April, April 23rd, 2021. And we are joined on the telephone by a legend in the world of stand-up comedy and movies. He is one of the funniest men alive. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones, Jackie Mason. Jackie, how are you?
How do you do? Nice to talk to you in person. I heard so much about you. Not from anybody I know, and not exactly in Detroit and New York, but in different places, wherever they are. I don't know exactly where, because right now I'm making up the whole story, and because I'm inventing a popularity that I never really heard about. It sounds to me that you're very impressed with yourself, so as far as I'm concerned, these are great compliments, and you could positively have them, no charge.
Jackie, how are things in New York?
Things in New York are fantastic. It's been great here. I've been having a great time till I heard from you. Now I don't know if I'm enjoying myself or not. It mixed me up.
Things are on the downhill turn.
But I heard you have a very successful show, and I've heard about it because people tell me and keep saying it to them. They believe it, so why shouldn't I? But I'm absolutely delighted to talk to you.
Well, I'm delighted.
Usually it costs a fortune to talk to me. Usually I don't talk for this, and I don't want to tell you the price because you get very excited. But you got me for the right price, which means nothing. I'm talking to you for nothing again. I don't know why I'm talking to you for these prices, because I don't know you personally. You never did anything for me. I know that I did things for you, but I can't think of anything you did for me.
Well, you're doing me a great favor this morning by coming on this Friday.
What's that? I can't hear you.
I say you're doing me a great favor today by coming on this Friday.
Well, thank God. I'm glad you noticed it. You don't look like a big spender, so I'm enjoying myself. I know I'm not losing anything because I know you don't pay anybody else either, so I'm not doing any worse than other people. But people, I heard people love you, except for the people who know you right now. But people who don't know you really admire you. If they ever found out what you really like, I think you would be in a lot of trouble right now.
You know, Jackie, one thing I want to talk about is that a lot of people don't know that you are a rabbi. Now, how did this all come about?
It came about because everybody in my family are rabbis. I have three brothers, and they all became rabbis. And I was the youngest of four boys. I say boys because it's a long, long time ago that I was called a boy, but I use that boy all the time because I don't want to keep reminding myself by how old I am. But to be serious for a second, the truth is it was a natural thing for us because my father was a rabbi. I come from generations of rabbis. So I followed in the footsteps of my business, of my family, of my traditions. And it was a natural thing for me to become a rabbi. It's just like if everybody in the family was once a fireman. If that's a tradition of the family, you just go along with it. It's easier to do it. If that's the tradition, you don't have to think. You don't have to wonder or worry about what your position or what your next profession is going to be. Because I found that when I studied to the as I say, the precious meaning and feeling that a Jew has from these type of study, it's a beautiful thing. If the rabbi was more popular, and if everybody followed the values of a rabbi, this would be a great world to live in.
Mm.
The way it is nowadays, people don't have those type of values. They're so looking for what's around the world today. There's mayhem and destruction of human values all over the world.
It's
not a very civilized society. We keep calling ourselves as the advanced society. The only advance is that you can kill more people a lot easier than you ever did before.
Absolutely. Jackie, how did you end up in stand-up comedy?
I fell into it by accident. I was practicing as a rabbi in a small town called Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Because in those days, when I was raised as a child, but there was the Lower East Side of New York, where I was raised, they had nothing but rabbis. Everybody was very religious, and it was a small percentage of people, but they were very close, like a unit, like a family. And there was too many rabbis for another rabbi to pop in to try to make a living. But being a rabbi in this neighborhood was a lot. It was very similar to being a dancer in a ballet. Everybody was a ballet dancer, and here everybody was a rabbi. So in order to find a place to practice, the organization sent me to a little town called Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And naturally, a rabbi delivers a sermon every Friday, every Saturday. So when I was delivering the sermons, I was carrying into jokes together with the message, the serious message I would deliver. I would also somehow include some humor, because I know that it's very boring to people to just be serious all the time. Every good speaker, every orator, everybody who knows anything about public response to a speech knows that if you add some humor, it doesn't detract from the significance of the message, and it becomes more colorful, more interesting, more entertaining, and people are having a good time while they're learning something. So all of a sudden, the jokes became more and more popular, and before you know it, I forgot to deliver the message. I was so busy with the jokes. And people were having such a good time that the word got out all over the town that the rabbi is very funny. So people came to hear the speeches who weren't even religious and they weren't even Jewish. Before you know it, there were so many Gentiles coming to see to hear the sermon. I was more popular with the Gentiles than the Jews. And before you know it, I was the only rabbi of a Gentile congregation.
You know, Jackie, the way people hear you right now, and they know that you are funny. Do you just think funny?
Did I just what?
Do you just think funny?
I think funny when I choose to, like I've had my dad always be a fool man, but when he wants to be a fool man, that's his business. I find it very natural and comfortable to be funny, because to me it's part of my character that I enjoy it, and I know people do enjoy it when I talk to them. The whole trick is to be appropriate for the occasion. Humor does, and attempt at jokes doesn't belong every place in every congregation or in any atmosphere. So when I think it's appropriate, it's natural for me to be funny. I find it effortless. I don't particularly work at it, and I don't feel like it's an effort for me to be funny. I enjoy it because I enjoy entertaining people and seeing them laugh. And it tumbles up a conversation and a relationship, but I don't find it as an effort. And I find it much more important to deliver the proper message than to make a joke out of it. Like right now, I'm doing these cameos, they call us, on the radio, where I tell people if they want me to greet their family or to congratulate people for personal occasions, I do it, and I charge money for $500 or so, and I give it all to charity because I see people who are still struggling to make a living or to overcome the situations in their personal life. So I give it to charity, and I charge $500. And if they want, if they have any decency, they can pay $1,000. And if they want to know the charity, I'll be glad to explain it to them. So, but more important is the fact that you got a job. Everybody is amazed at that because you don't look like the type of a guy that would work for a living. So it's a wonderful thing to help you out.
Well, I thank you for those very kind words. Jackie, before I let you go here this morning, because I know you're a very busy man, can you tell me what was your favorite appearance, movies, on stage, on television? Is there something that sticks out in your mind as your favorite?
The truth really is, to me, it made no difference about the vehicle. It made more of a difference to me about the atmosphere and the personalities around me. If the circumstances are comfortable and you're dealing with friendly and decent people and everybody gets along very well, like I made a few movies. And I enjoyed working with them, and it didn't bother me, but it was just natural real-life situations like on the stage, or where you were more artificial, more distant from my typical practice. And people are having a good time, but I'll be honest with you. I don't tell this to everybody, but as long as you're asking questions, I like to have an honest answer. The honest answer is that I hated making movies. I love the atmosphere of the people involved, but the process is very, very boring. Because you always have to, no matter what you say, you have to say it another 42 times till they get the right angle, till they say you're working exactly in the right position, that your pinky finger didn't go astray, and that your foot was more to the right than the left, and your bottom stuck out, that the voice was too high or too low, and you didn't work, you didn't turn around fast enough. People don't know how difficult it is. It's not so difficult. The way I'm looking for is not difficult. Boring. Boring is the word. It's desperately boring. And I was never happier than when I left a movie. Unemployment at that time was my gift. It was the greatest gift I could get.
Well, Jackie, I cannot thank you enough for stopping by on this Friday. You're one of my all-time favorites, and to be roasted here this morning by Jackie Mason makes my weekend. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, my friend. It was a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sure you never heard that compliment too often, but it's a pleasure. God bless you, and wonderful things should happen to you in your future. And if you ever have a problem, be glad to call me. And I'll be glad to help out, because you sounded to me like you need help.
Thank you, Jackie. Bye-bye. The legendary comedian Jackie Mason. Boy, he is still very, very funny. You know, those comedians of that era were just hugely funny. Jackie Mason and Shecky Green, off the cuff, they are extremely funny. We've got Family Feud coming up here this morning on WWGH Radio, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And then we've got the Exchange Club today, plus the program I do on Friday nights, Friday Night Live with Angie Evers, 8 to 10 tonight. So don't miss any of that here on WWGH Radio, the only place you'd ever want to be. It's going to be a great morning. Still more hours to come. And we thank Jackie Mason. Back in 15. WGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely, from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman? You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, you know, something that came in that would have been huge.
A huge.
Lost me at the time. A huge show that he did not do
because of something.
Because he thought, you know, it's just not me. I have to go in a second.
Yes, there is. Now, our chair keeper over there tells us we're almost up out of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh, my goodness.
but we have to. We didn't. That's the question. You don't know it, evidently,
yeah.
Right?
I'd like to have a prize. I'm hungry.
Oh,
you're hungry?
Well,
there's donuts. There's a whole box of...
No.
There's orange juice. There's coffee.
No. I got a friend now.
There's
I
bring her
over.
There's a T-bone steak and...
Charlie, you know what you're going to get. Five fingers.
Well, we can give you a delivery to take out to your friend.
Yeah.
And we have the question, so you don't know it, right? You don't know. But I wish people would give them a really big hint so they'll call it.